Hey everybody, welcome back to the Mind of the Collector podcast. It is myself, Robbie 412 Sports Cards, and my man Joe, Joe's Card Shack. So we are here, we are back, we are ready for episode two. We've got some collector content. We've got some, we're going to talk about some patches. I think it's, the collegiate patch cards especially are something good to get into when dealing with the coolness of a patch versus the meaningfulness of the material, and assorted other more timely topics that we've got queued up. But Joe, what's new with you? Oh yeah, gotta ask you, how was the Detroit spectacular? Let's hear all about it.
So that kind of it was weird because I got there and my main motivation for going to the show was the awesome signers. And I got there and I got informed that the Tigers players had to cancel their signing because they had a mandatory team meeting after getting blown out 10 to nothing.
Oof.
So
Oof.
yeah, that at the start of the show for sure that put a sour taste in my mouth, which is not the show's fault. I want to make that clear. The Tigers called the team meeting. There's nothing the show can do. They're going to refund me. No bad blow with the show. It's just that puts a sour taste in your mouth to start the show. So,
I know, and especially since you had already kind of planned for the signing, especially as you do if you're kind of ponying up the cash for that type of thing.
right. And so once I kind of got that out of the way, gotten a better headspace, I did end up making some pickups. The first grab was a Riley Green Topps Chrome Auto Orange Wave.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
It's numbered 9 of 25. And that is in a card saver. We'll be going to Clay Cards here soon. So really
Oh, Clay
excited about that
Cards.
one. Yep.
Shout out Clay Cards. He's the first group subber I ever used.
Is the only one I've ever used. For PSA and likely the last one I'll use for PSA. He works out of Lima, which is I don't know, just under an hour from here, so I can go pick him up when they're done. So you can't
Oh,
beat
that's great.
that. And the second grab was a Marvin Harrison Jr. Elements of the Game Bowman U autograph PSA 9 gold.
So, is that a Bowman's best insert?
Yeah, it is actually Bowman U best. You are correct.
So, I'm curious, how do you like those Bowman U autos of guys? How do you. How or sorry, not the Bowman U, the like the Bowman's best versus the Bowman Chrome. So do you have some interest then for the Bowman's best?
I think Bowman's best is a really good product. I think it has some cool inserts and designs. It's a little bit cheaper because you don't get the true first in there. So, and it's not like there's a lot of the Bowman stuff in general for football, so it's still pretty scarce. So, in my opinion, I like it a lot. And with Marv being sued by Fanatics, he might not have cards. So,
That is pretty interesting. Have you seen the his? I mean, you're more in that market. Are the autos kind of ticking up a little in price at all, or is there any? I'd imagine at the very least, when you inquire about a Marv auto at a table, there's in the haggling process some mention of how well, he may not sign.
When I bought this Marv, I've tried to get other Marvs before, but I've not been able to get a deal done. This is the first Marv autograph I've been able to acquire.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And when I walked up to the table, I saw the price tag and I'm like, that seems reasonable. Looked it up, made my offer. They took my offer and walked away happy.
That's awesome. That's what you want to see.
Definitely. And then in the mail today, I got a Joe Burrow Select Purple Field Level PSA 10. So,
Those
meeting
are good. Yeah, so like Joe Burrow is, I don't know, I feel like I haven't started to hear the big football chatter yet. Maybe I'm just, living in a rock under a rock, but I feel like I haven't heard the rumblings about all the football QB hype yet. But Joe Burrow is probably someone who's flown a little more under the radar the last little bit due to injury.
Yeah, they the Bengals posted pictures of him at, I want to say, I want to say spring training, but that's not what it is.
OTAs.
That's baseball. OTAs, yes. And seeing him throw a football around gets me excited, so had to grab a Burrow.
Yeah, that's awesome. Burrow's in kind of a nice spot. I think 2020 is not a terrible spot to have guys who you like. I like the look of the Prism that year. And there's a lot of cards printed, so it's like fairly relatively cheap, but it's not like it is now where the production now compared to 2020 has ballooned even more. I think 2020 is 2019 is probably the last year where it was like decently low, I say. But 2020 is not a bad year to have your guy in.
And it's weird now with these guys being with Fanatics while this licensing kind of waits to sits and waits to transfer. Fanatics signing these guys to exclusive autograph deals like Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison and stuff like that. These guys are gonna have less meaningful cards because obviously less
Yes.
the Panini stuff printed to the moon, but but the shorter print autos is weird with that too.
It is kind of nice though that your guys that you like more if you had them in the years prior, because you want to be you we all want the nicer autograph cards of our guys to exist. It's kind of a lose. People are sad, when you can't get like they can't get the licensed autos that you want, like for like a CJ Stroud or someone.
Absolutely, yeah. This is kind of off topic. We did not have this in the notes, but it's just random thought in my head. What is your opinion on like the Topps stuff that is not licensed? Like if Topps is doing like what would be the equivalent to a Topps now of CJ Stroud that's autographed but has no logos?
I'm not big on it personally. I'm definitely not a buyer of CJ Stroud autos in the first place, so take that for what it's worth. But I don't know. It really doesn't do it for me as a collector either. I'm not interested in the street clothes, Got rocking the CJ Stroud shirt. I love it. But yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't do it for me as a collector. I want the logos combined with an auto and a patch. The only circumstance is actually a card I bought very recently, Notre Dame jersey auto of Michael Mayer, because the jersey was player worn, whereas all Panini was giving me was non-associated. But in that case, I could look past the no logos because Notre Dame doesn't have a logo on their helmet at all. There is no logo on the helmet. It is a gold helmet with no logo. So that makes it a little more palatable. And it's not like there's a big chest logo. All you miss is a shoulder patch, So in circumstances like that, it's okay. But CJ Stroud, it's a no-go for me.
That makes total sense. I didn't know that about Notre Dame. That's pretty cool. It probably makes collecting a little bit easier.
It is, it yeah, it makes the Leaf stuff look a little better than what it would otherwise.
I know when it comes to like Miguel Cabrera or something like that, I can't do the Panini stuff at all. I can't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
It's really hard in those circumstances where your guy has so many years of cards to choose from. That stuff just falls to the bottom. I say that my favorite David Ortiz card that I own is Panini, but it has a nickname inscription, which I don't know if I've ever really seen on any other cards.
Right.
So that changes the game for me.
So anything new with you?
No, not a ton. I don't want to divulge too many details on the pod. Did get an interesting offer. Someone approached me about my Ian Buck Prism 1 of 1, Black Finite, who has built the entire rainbow minus three cards. A neon like pulsar out of five or something, some other really rare card, and then my 1 of 1. That was an interesting encounter in the DMs. Good guy. Guy I actually had crossed paths with in real life, just which made it all the more interesting.
So what happened? Did you sell it?
I said no for right now, but I would definitely, it's not a card that I could just kind of wake up and move even for a big offer. But I think that it's one of those scenarios that for me, he's moved to, if I ever entertained the thought of selling that card, he is the first call, and we're working it out together before I would ever even consider doing anything else with it. That's kind of my process.
When
It's a
I
tough position though,
was,
because you don't
oh,
want to be the one stopping a rainbow, but at the same time, I don't think you feel pressured to move your card just because someone else has the ra is going for a rainbow. Never been in that situation. A very interesting one though.
for sure. If somebody approached me about my super factor and sent me like the whole rainbow that they have,
Right.
I don't think I would sell it. I just really don't.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very similar scenario to that.
When
Interesting stuff, though.
I was in Detroit this weekend, I sat down at a table for a break, and there was a gentleman there in a Riley Green jersey, and obviously I had my PC case with me, and I had a couple Riley Greens in there, so I busted it open and I showed him some of the Riley Greens, and he's like, "Are you willing to move either of these?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm more willing to move Riley Green than I am Miggy." So I was like, "Yeah, I might move one of them. I want to keep one." And he said the Dynasty was out of his range. I ended up selling him the Transcendent Patch Auto. And then I was showing him there was two of them. I was showing him some of my Miggy cards. And the one guy is looking at my laundry tag, 1 of 1 from years
Oh, wonderful card.
ago. And I had him priced on the back just in case for trade. And he looked at it and he's like, "Are you selling this?" And I'm like, "Not really." And then he's like, "I will give you your sticker cash right now if you want to sell this." He's not even a Tigers fan. Keep that in mind. This other guy was not the guy in the Riley Green jersey. And
Wow.
I had to sit and ponder about it. And then I looked through his case in case I saw something I wanted to trade, and I didn't see anything, and I couldn't justify selling it, so we did not get a deal done. But that's
It's
kind of,
tough. It's
yeah.
tough when you're in those scenarios. And quite honestly, your reaction in that story is pretty interesting from a collector's perspective, right? You got offered what to a flipper type is the dream. You were offered cash, full sticker cash, and that's the gold standard if you're of the flipper mindset. But you, with the more of a collector mindset, went and said, actually, you know what might make this more interesting to me if you had some trade, which is it's such a different mindset because to like the flipper, trade is inferior, you don't want trade, you just want cash, and you actually would need a higher value in trade to get there. But you went looking for maybe a really unique piece that might make the trade worth it for you, which is exactly how I feel when I was approached about this Ian book. I said, well, what do you got, in cards? Because, that's where your mind goes. If you're going to part with a piece that's awesome, as a collector, you want to bring something home that, I mean, ideally that you like even more, or that when paired with the cash, you like more. But it's just an interesting thought.
He did have a Colts triple auto that I thought about. It was Peyton Manning, Dallas Clark, and I think either a running back or one of the receivers. And he had 400 on it, and I had to sit and I had to think about it.
Yeah.
That would have been cool to bring home, but he is a Colts fan, so it's where it deserves to be. So,
That's a good story though. I like that.
all right, I think we are ready to get into the meat of this podcast.
Let's go.
So, talking about collecting, and we touched on college cards a little bit. We want to get into the patches on these college cards. So this is kind of your idea, so I'll let you lead this conversation.
So we all know that there's been kind of the move to non-associated memorabilia, and that would begin with the was probably the year that you see that switch. I don't I, maybe it's 21, maybe it's 21. It's either 21 or 22. You see that pivot from player worn to non-associated everything. And that's a monumental switch for collectors, something that was kind of a gut punch to a ton of collectors. But I found that amongst a lot of my collecting circles in collegiate stuff, there's a lot of people who still tolerate the non-associated patches. And in fact, they still like them and they pay for them pretty similar to what they would for not right for associated patches, player worn ones. I'm curious, Joe, to get your opinion. And I think collegiate is a good landscape for this, right? Because we would both say that the collegiate patches are much bigger and there's like way more colors and way more logo type patches than there are in an NFL product, even still in this non-associated era. Because you've got the colorful bowl patches and all of that. For you, does that move the needle at all, or are you indifferent on the patch if it's non-associated?
So what moves the needle for me for college-wise is that, at least college-wise, it's really never been game-worn stuff. Like, they have some game-worn, but it's always the older players that played a while ago and not
No.
these newer guys. So that helps a little bit, so you don't go into it expecting to see game-worn at all. And
Yeah.
I feel like for even for as long as I can remember, it's not really been even player worn for college. But
It's been a good while.
yeah, and really I don't buy the patch cards. I don't buy the patch autos and stuff like that. I have a Cardale Jones numbered out of like five because he won us a national title, and that's just a cool card to have. It's national
Yeah.
treasures. But I really don't get into that because I don't know if it's because of the non-game worn, it just doesn't do anything for me, being such a big game worn collector. I've been spoiled with baseball my whole life, so I always expect to see game worn on the back.
Yeah.
But
Baseball's by far the best.
oh yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I'm kind of indifferent on it because I don't really buy it. When it comes to the Buckeye stuff, I really like cracked ice.
Cracked ice. Yeah, I think that's probably the other approach. You just kind of distance yourself from the non-associate. So you would say that you weren't interested in the memorabilia even at all back when it was player worn, just because not game worn, didn't do it for you.
Yeah, even when I was younger, like I remember my first national was actually my first card show too. But
That's cool.
yeah, I bought that Cardale Jones. And I was really I didn't know, but I was really disappointed that it wasn't game worn. And even being younger, I'm like, why am I paying all this money for something that's not game worn?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty normal reaction, and it's definitely how I felt. But I don't know, I've kind of struggled with it because I feel like there's such a poor I've kind of turned to those cards, to the patch autos, just because I've felt that there's been such poor design of the auto-only cards in the collegiate stuff. There just aren't a ton of cards that are auto only that really look nice. Now, the contenders is a different story. So the cracked ice contenders, I see how that could be a good place to land, which I'd never really considered before.
Let me see if I have any
Just
right.
a, if as long as they're not, I mean, I guess the autos are probably stickers, right?
So here, this is actually a Prism draft picks, Cardale Jones, but it's a Prism tie-dye.
Yeah, those are awesome. I love
Yeah,
that.
that's an exception to my cracked ice rule or contenders rule.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's just a sick card. I bet I have a Buckeye cracked ice in here somewhere. You can keep talking if you have
Yeah, I was
anything.
gonna say tie-dyes in general are just awesome looking cards.
Oh, yeah.
The collegiate landscape though, you kind of gotta really have one card that you like to buy because it's tough. There's not a ton of variety. And I know people out there are going to say, well, there's way more collegiate cards than there ever used to be. And now you're getting spoiled because now you have all of these collegiate products through Bowman and through the Fanatics licensing too. And they're all licensed and you have all these options. Well, that it when you compare to how much there is in football cards for like the NFL, there is really not that much by comparison. You don't have all of those smaller sets that sometimes produce cards that you really enjoy. And it kind of makes it difficult out there if it's your primary mode of collecting.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. So my Buckeyes cracked ice stuff is weird actually, because like I'll do the season tickets that are not autographed.
Yeah.
Like I think I have one autographed one. It's a Paris Campbell. I just like the design better when it's not non-autographed, to be honest with you.
That's fair.
And it's cheaper. Like these are like I have a couple of Zeke's here and they're like $20 a pop.
Yeah.
But
You can definitely get some
you
of
know what
those
I
for
really
decent
like to
price.
see, Robbie?
What?
It's like an NT set in college football where it's like notable nicknames or something like that. The player signs it, then they put like a college nickname, like
Now
high
that's what
school
I'm
kid
talking
Elliot.
about, Joe. Give
Yeah,
me that.
tried Zeke. Like that would be sick.
Give me that all day long. I would love that.
That's so much better than non-associated
Oh,
memorabilia.
yeah, I'd do that all day.
I
I would do that all day because then that would actually be an auto-only set that looks cool.
Right.
I think we've lost a lot of auto-only subsets in favor of auto patches, which is tough when the patch is less meaningful.
Like something like this, you're never going to see again. This is a Upper Deck Black James Laurinaitis Gold Ink Autograph.
Yeah.
Like that just doesn't exist anymore. And
Yeah, and that you've lost some of the diversity in the collegiate stuff. Definitely something of note, something to consider. I guess the collegiate landscape is a particularly bleak patch world in terms of the amount of game used or player worn patches existing, but maybe you guys can consider that and consider Joe's approach. You know, consider how I've actually kind of slowly come around to them just because they are nice looking to me, even though I am staunchly against non-associated. Consider like kind of how we went with it and maybe use it to inform how you approach your own cards, be it collegiate or be it not.
I will put together a graphic about this and I will be posting it on the Instagram so you can let us know what you think. All
Do you want
right.
to
So
move to
next.
the Bobby Witt, Joe?
Yes, I want to talk about this Bobby Witt. This is the coolest thing that I've ever seen in cards. So this collector pulls a Bobby Witt foil fractor, baby boomers out of, I believe, archives or something similar to that. And Bobby Witt himself hits up this collector and is like, I want that one of one of myself, and ends
That's
up
wild, by the way.
yeah, and ends up trading him a game used autographed bat.
So that's the easiest decision of the lifetime, right? Like
Right?
you take the game used bat
And you get to
from.
meet Bobby Witt.
I would do that 100 times out of 100, especially considering that this superfractor, I would say, is relatively obscure. And it's not like you got a, I don't know, like a tops, like an acetate-based rookie, you know, like the ones out of 10 or something, or a
Right.
platinum one of one from base tops. It's not like that. It's just a more obscure super. Game used bat, if you are a really, really big fan, is awesome. Now, you got to be a really big fan, but that's an incredible piece and an incredible story.
And not only that, but like he is in the MVP conversation. So like that would be game used from his MVP year if he is to win. I'm a Tigers fan, so I hope they lose out, but
It's just an
I
awesome card, though, or awesome bat. That's the type of thing that you could display with a great story. And I've really enjoyed seeing athletes get more into cards, even in just these like little ways. I this stuff it's small and like it's a couple one-off circumstances, but this stuff didn't used to happen.
right.
And now it does. It's
I
pretty
believe
cool.
Bobby Witt buys a one-on-one of himself for every home run that he hits.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Oh my gosh, how many does he have? I thought maybe he was just like gonna dabble, but apparently he's going hardcore.
Oh yeah, he's one of the bigger athletes that are actually in the hobby for sure.
Dang.
But that's
That's.
super cool. I'm a Tigers fan, and if he made that offer, I would accept it. So if that says anything.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
I would put him at
I game used bats.
MVP
Game used bats are so cool. I actually have one game used bat, but it's like kind of broken.
too. Well, that's how you get them from the team shop. You get the broken bats.
Dude, this is from the team shop, but it was on clearance at my LCS. And then so it has the team shop sticker on it or tag, like zip tied to it. But I paid 10% of the team store price. So I was pretty hyped. I actually have it. I actually
Who
have it in here. It's
whose bat is
Jason
it?
Bay from the
Jason
Pirates
Bay.
from back in the day. He was my brother's favorite player. I used to like him. Still got the pine tar and everything on it. Sick looking.
I went to a 10 caps game a couple years ago, and I went into the team shop. That is sick. And it's only
Got the.
broken a little bit. Oh man, the writing on the bat knob is sick too. Yeah, that's
Yeah,
awesome.
it's got the writing inside of, you can't see it, but inside of the top of the bat,
Dude, that's
the name on the model with Pittsburgh Pirates written on it. You can see,
nasty.
you can, I don't think you can see it. Yeah, you can see the smudge from where the ball hit it.
That's nuts.
Sick.
That's pretty intact for a broken bat.
Yeah, it was under $20.
That's a
Was
no-brainer.
awesome.
That's a no-brainer.
Easiest pickup I've ever made.
And I bought a game used autographed broken bat. I forget who
Those
the
are
bat
so
is.
fun, Joe.
Yeah, it was a random 10 caps player, probably never even made it to the pros, but it was cool.
You still love those. Who
I
are the
need to
tin
go to
caps?
a Mud Hens game and see if they have any.
Toledo Mud Hens.
Yeah, Toledo Mud Hens of guys that are former Tigers or were on the Tigers at one point that are obscure. That would just be a sick item to have.
Yeah.
We are down to 10 minutes already, so
Okay, let's keep it moving. Let's keep it moving. Can we skip ahead to those Bowman inscriptions?
absolutely.
I would love to talk about that.
So we were just talking about inscriptions, how I would like to personally see an inscription set with nicknames in college football. And inscriptions have been, will be important in the hobby. People love them. Whether you like them or not, they sell for more money because
Yep.
if the cards are in that person's hand longer, being personalized, they're unique and special. Like I have a Casey Mize Bowman draft.
Oh, those horizontal ones?
And it says
Yeah.
Go Tigers on it. So That one's way cooler than one that doesn't. Infinitely cooler.
I know J-Rod ones that say like J-Rod Show. There's a ton of those within that whole horizontal Bowman draft set, I think, is an inscription set.
That's so cool. But definitely I've noticed that since Fanatics has kind of like taken over Tops, that there's been more inscription stuff.
Yes. They're smart because it boosts the value. And it really all started with that green Wemby from oh nuts, what set was it?
Bowman, that was Bowman U, right?
Yeah, it was Bolt, right, because it had to be because it was an auto. But it was that green. It was like Bowman U Inception or something, though. It was
I think it was just
something
on the
like
front.
that. I thought it was an on-card set.
The listeners know what we're talking about.
I think they do. I think they do. But that was a wild experience. Do you remember that? And they gathered all the people who had the redemptions because it
Yeah, that
wasn't
was so
hard
cool.
sell. But that card basically became the same popularity as a super. And I mean, it was basically as wanted as like a one of one. Incredible stuff. But I think it's kind of interesting, right? Like you've kind of create Fanatics is smart, right? It kind of creates this other big chase. And it was cool with the Wemby. And it is honestly pretty cool when they do the first Bowman auto. I don't know. Do you like it better than the one of one? If it's on an obscure parallel, like an out of 99 or an out of 150, where does it stack up for you?
Here's my question that will determine that. Is it the first one that they signed?
Well, it
Is
should
it
be.
just a
That's the ones
random
that I
one?
like. Oh no, if it says first, my first, if it's the first one that they signed, it's cool. It's
Yes.
objectively very cool.
Yeah.
If
Because
it's
that,
not, it's all a big disappointment.
right. But in that sense, if it is the first one they signed, that essentially makes it a one of one. And
I
it's
think that makes it pretty cool.
right.
Because they signed tons of Bowman autos.
Right. And personally, I've never been a big super fractor guy until I owned the Miguel Cabrera, but now I'm really like super fractors. Personally, I would t if it was like Riley Green, I would probably still take the super fractor.
I think that's a pretty respected opinion. I think you would be in the majority of people who would say that.
It's a close second, though. It really is. It's a close second. Like, if the super got hit by somebody like Crazy for Cards LLC and I was never going to see it, I'd be chasing the first one they signed as a
I
console.
like those inscriptions. I think I don't want to go down the over inscription route. Where you just start creating a bunch of gimmicky inscriptions because I want them to stay kind of rare, you know. It's fun, right? Because there aren't, it's not every card is inscribed, so it makes it kind of special. But those super cool, like one of one type inscriptions, I think are awesome. I'm not as big on like the more tacky. I do not like the drawing on the card inscriptions. It's a pass for me.
Right. I
Th
agree with
those
that.
exist in multiple instances. It's not just that Dynasty Wemby. There's a nuts. There's a Bowman Chrome one that a guy did that. They just don't do it for me.
Here's that Wimby. It was a Bowman
Oh, it.
Chrome U, and
Yeah,
then it was
you're
a
right.
green one that he
Yep, you
sent.
were right.
But yeah, I agree with you. You can't overdo it, but if you do it the right way, it's extremely cool. Like,
Yeah.
here's an idea I just thought of for Michael Rubin. Topps Chrome update, where you have the MLB debuts. If you have them sign their autograph and then put MLB debut and then the date on it, that would be super cool.
So that does sort of exist in hockey now. So
Really?
on future watch autographs, I think they are. It's like on, I forget if it's, so the Future Watch Auto is like out of 9.99, but either they made a new set numbered to like 100 or like 50 or something like that. there's hockey collectors listening, they're gonna kill me. I am a hockey collector, but I just don't know it as well as I know the sets of other sports. Or they just, boxed off a part of the print run, but they definitely inscribed their first start on some of the future Watch autos.
That's super cool.
Yeah, it is
So,
pretty cool.
as long and in our opinions, from what I'm gathering, as long as you don't overdo it, it's extremely cool. Just don't overdo it because that will ruin it.
Yeah, we can't overdo it, but I really do enjoy a good inscription card. It's so fun.
All right, we got a couple minutes left. So I'm gonna. We're going to hit on the Wemby really quick. Wemby was spotted at a local San Antonio card shop looking for his own rookie card. So that, speaking of athletes being involved in the hobby, it's super cool.
I think it's cool. Hopefully Giannis isn't the one teaching him about the hobby. Or we could have a major scandal on our hands when suddenly product hit one of ones are not turning up. If you know, you know. The picture, the Instagram live or whatever it was from COVID times, just maybe it was even before then. I don't
Didn't he
know.
have like a
It
whole
just hilarious.
display case behind him filled with his one of ones or
Yeah,
something like
it
that?
was like 20 or 30 one of ones that had never been seen.
Oh, that's not good.
Was so many. It wasn't just like five. It was like probably 15 to 25.
And Panini's just over here screaming, "This is why aren't you're not getting your redemptions. This is why."
It was all like one of one. There was like a ton of one of ones that just held back. Incredible stuff. But hopefully Wemby isn't doing that. And it would be really cool to see him come forward with some cards of his own. I've had some great memories of stuff like that. Even like Giannis in the presser holding up a Bobby Portis like prism parallel. And being like, I have this Bobby Portis rookie card when they were on a playoff run. Love that stuff.
Yeah, didn't he say like this is my retirement?
Yeah, he did. It was like a blue parallel Bobby Portis rookie. Incredible stuff.
We need to get Giannis on here and
I
pick
love it,
his
Joe.
collecting mind.
It's the best. Well,
Think
think I
that'll
had some internet. Yeah, I was gonna say I had some internet troubles, but I think perhaps time to wrap, Joe.
All right. Thank you to everybody who tuned in for episode two and continues to stick with us while we figure this out. We look forward to putting out more content for you guys.
All right, see ya.